We are continuing in the Inyan of Kavod, and I just wanted to point out that when the Chazal say Ein Kavod Ela Torah, so we are inclined to say that the word Kavod itself is representing Torah, because what should it have said? Ein Kavod Ela Kvoida Shel Torah, right? Or Kavod Bishvil HaTorah, Machmas HaTorah. Ein kavod ela Torah sounds like it's a synonym. Kavod is Torah. Torah is kavod. It's like an equal sign. Ein kavod ela Torah. In fact, this point was noticed and corrected, as it were, by the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Tiferes Yisrael, Yochanan Boaz. Because when the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis says ein kavod ela Torah, kloimar l'Torah. What is he saying, kloimar l'Torah? He's answering this question. It's not that kavod is Torah. Kavod is for Torah. You give kavod for Talmidei Chachamim because of the Torah that they possess. V'hachi ko'amar, ein kavod bolo li odom elo al iskei Torah. Shenem ha'kavod chachamim in chalu, kloima heim noichlim kavod b'shvil sheim loim demes ha'Torah v'yorshim oysa nachala. B'nachala. Same thing in the Tiferes Yisrael. Ein kavod ela Torah, it's a loima. What is rotz loima? He's trying to explain that the literal sense of it is missing the lamed. Ein kavod roilo la adam ela bishvil haTorah shalomad. Now he adds the following, which is something that I mentioned last time and is self-evident. The kavod sheyasu loy bishvil oisher ayoyfi shaloi hu toli bedover ve'einoy ro'u loy ki im lahadover. Abu kavod sheyasu la'adam b'shvil tayrosai, he ru'uya loy ba'atzmai, darek shura b'nafshei kelahav b'psila. Very fascinating thing that the Tiferes Yisrael says, and I'll tell you why. At first blush, until he said those last few words, one could imagine that what he's saying is a paraphrase of al yishal, right? Chochem b'chochmosa yishal gibug b'rosa, al yishal osher b'osheroi, kim b'zois yishal al mishalal, haskil b'yodoya isi. And in fact, after he finishes saying what he says, maybe that is indeed what he's saying. But what I mean to say is, we would say, it says, Ezehu osher, Ezehu chochem, Ezehu gibur, and in every one of those things that Ben Zoma says at the beginning of the Perek Dalet, there is a sense that what you have, that you were born with, that you got from elsewhere, doesn't really count. So if a person has tremendous physical strength, that's because his genetic makeup is that way. But if he develops courage, right, and he's able to be kavish as Yetzirah, those are things that are acquired and they really belong to you. So you're allowed to be considered a gibor if you're kavish as Yitzro, because that kind of gvura is not something that you're born with. So you can take credit for it. And that is the true quality, the quality that you can incur, that you can gain, you can acquire, not something that you happen to be, which is none of your zuchus. It didn't get accomplished by you. It's something you were born with or inherited from others. The same thing is true about osher, because it's a mazel zach osher. But if a person is sameach b'chelko, he is an osher because of his tchunus hanefesh. And the same thing as somebody's a chacham. If you have a very high IQ, you can't be mishalo with that IQ, because you were born with that IQ, just like somebody's born with a lower IQ. But if you use your IQ for limud ha-Torah and you develop yirat shamayim, again, it's something that you acquire. So it could very well be that that's where he was headed, but I was noticing the lashon of the Tiferes Yisrael here, and I saw that maybe he's saying something else. What does he mean? It's kshura benafshay, like the psilo with the ner, kelahav bepsilo. So it seems to me, that what he's saying is that there's something external to a person, extrinsic, and there's something internal or intrinsic. Torah bonds with the very nature of the person because it becomes a chelik of his neshama. It connects to his neshama. It's very interesting. We have words, ben something, ben olam haba. You also have the expression ben Torah. So ben, or like bar mitzvah. So it means that when he's 13, he becomes a different person because he's mitzvah from now on. And godol ha-mitzvah v'yosa. So he's a bar mitzvah, means his whole being through and through. Can you identify an aspect of him? No, because it's every aspect. Same thing of ben Torah. The Torah becomes his nature, his essence, it cleaves to him and redefines him. That's what he's trying to say. Whereas everything else is acquired, it's something that you have, but it isn't a taich in who you are. It's not your pshat. So if you read it that way, it's not really the inyan of Al Yishal al Chacham b'Chachmasai. It's something else. That Oysher Yoifi Yoifi. So a person is beautiful. But beautiful is Sheka Achaim Behevel HaYoifi. Because beautiful is really a mask, it's a cover-up. A beautiful person, a beautiful personality, a beautiful nature, is infinitely more beautiful than the external beauty, which is just a way that a person perceives the way the skin is covering the skeleton. That's basically it. And how many pounds a person has. That it's very appealing or unappealing if the person is not handsome or not beautiful, but it's all superficial. It's all irrelevant to the essence of the person. And in fact, there's a stira sometimes to the essence of a person. Why? Because it blinds us, because we are inclined to focus on something which is irrelevant at the expense of what is truly relevant. Best example of that is doing a shidduch. So a person goes out on a date, and the first thing that he notices, and what most people remain with, is how beautiful or unattractive she was. It is be'etzem the lowest item on the list. Not to dismiss it, not to discount it, as some of the mefarshim say, sheka chen be'evel ha'yoifi, isha yiras Hashem, he tis halol, with her chen and yoifi. Because chen and yoifi should not be completely dismissed. But it's only if the person has the ikar, then you can be excited about the tafel. The problem is that the tafel blinds the person to see the ikar either as less or as almost insignificant when it's mamish the other way around. It's the superficial that's insignificant. And what's remarkable about the Ribbono Shel Olam's creation is that he allows us over time to discover the essence of a person by making the externals less and less appealing. It's a fact. So when a person is in the time of getting married, that's what he sees. 30 years later, it's not important anymore. It's a pelet dikazach. But if a person really is a ben Torah, so the Torah becomes him and he becomes the Torah, it is the nature of his being. He talks differently, he thinks differently, he acts differently, he projects himself differently to the public. Everything is different. That's why we speak about kavod ela Torah, because all the other things are superficial. And they are what he calls tolui bedavar ve'einoi rohu loy ki im la'adavar. I'll never forget. It's amazing how things stay in your head. You remember certain things. So I remember once we went into I just had occasion to go into Gouverneur Hospital in the Lower East Side. Where it is irrelevant. That's not the point. Just happens to be. So I went in and we were waiting because they had a clinic there. So I think to check one of our children's eyes for glasses or something, whatever it was. So I noticed an interesting thing. There was a little statuette made of two pieces. Two little figurines, one next to the other, made out of cheap plastic. And it was on the desk of one of the nurses there, one of the attendants there. One of them was what would appear to be a very attractive nurse, dressed in a nurse's uniform, but very attractive. The other one was the same nurse, a skeleton. I'm telling you, a Musa Seifer. A Meiridika Musa Seifer. And it made the point. It just mamish made the point. Apparently the nurses there were being disturbed, so they wanted the doctors to stay away, to leave them alone. But this is a Meiridika Musa Shmus. Unbelievable. Anyhow, that's what he's saying. Yoifi is not roi loy lo adam to his nature, to his pnimius. You're admiring the chitzonius. You're admiring the thing itself, not the person who possesses it, because you can't speak of a person possessing it. So that's really what it is. So both of them have the idea that ain kavod ela Torah, both the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Feres Yisrael, that what we really mean is ain kavod ro'i ela l'misha yesh lei Torah. Bishvil ha-Torah sheyesh lei. Last time we learned it in a much more equation kind of way, that it's that kavod is Torah and Torah is kavod. I wanted to, today, to learn a marsha with you. And derech agav, I wanted to tell you something from a tshuvas Beis Ephraim, from Ephraim Zalman Margolyos, which you don't have in your notes, but it's relevant to the marsha. As he writes, Ayin v'divrei Adonai Av Yizkeni, the marsha, the Beis Ephraim is a descendant of the marsha. So he writes like this. In the Gemara in Bava Basra, in Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beit, Omer Rabbe, Omer Rabbe Yochanan, Asidim Tzadikim, Shenikroyim Al Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenema, Kol HaNekro Bishmi, V'lechvodi Brotziv, Yitzartiv Af Asisiv. You know, I always say that when they sing the song that it comes from Uvol Etzion Goyel, which itself comes from this pasuk, they have to be very careful how to pronounce the word. Which song am I talking about? Baruch Hu Elokeinu. What's the next word? So we have two. Already, I hear two different and distinct voices. One says Shebaranu, and the other one says correctly, I might add, and necessarily, I might add, Shebe with a shva under the bays, and then a komatz under the resh. Not two komatzes. Not shebaranu, but shebiranu. What's the difference? Big deal. So you pronounce it this way, you pronounce it that way. Echad amarbe v'echad amamit. No, it's not so. Because baranu means we created. And if you translate it literally, what we are saying, and of course nobody means that, but what we are saying in the correct Hebrew is, blessed is Hashem whom we created. And that, of course, is absurd. And of course, nobody has that in mind. But that is what the word means. Shebaranu. Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebaranu. What is Shebiranu? Blessed is Hashem who created us. And He created us in His honor. I remember many, many, many decades ago. I mean, it goes back, Mistama, 35 years or something. Mamish, a long, long time. So I was in the Yeshivas of Yitzchak Elchanan for Shabbos with my Rebbetzin, and it happened to be that Rabbi Grossman from Migdal HaEmek was there as well. And he told over a story to the Talmidim. He told them that there was a certain... and I think I may have mentioned this story in the past, even in the Agra de Pirka Shiurim. So he said that there was a father who brought his children from Eretz Yisrael for the chasna of his daughter that he was marrying off. And one of the children was very wealthy, and the other one in Eretz Yisrael, both of them, but happened to be very poor. So I think I told it over once before, and I'll make it very short. So he sent them both a letter that, you know, I want you to come and I want you to give me kavod, and anything that you do to be mechabed me in the context of this chasna, I will reimburse you to the last shekel, to the last penny. Well, the rich one had a lot of money to spend, so he went on a campaign to spend whatever he could, because he had this promise of his very wealthy father that he's going to reimburse him. So he brought brand new luggage, even though they had already new luggage, and they brought new dresses, even though they had already dresses galore, and v'chulu, v'chulu, and fashteitzach, without a doubt, first-class tickets for the entire family, and so on and so forth, racked up a massive, massive bill, with the understanding that it will be reimbursed. The schlepper Nebuch, who didn't have a penny to begin with, and couldn't get a loan, so even if he's going to be reimbursed, but he has no money to spend. So he Nebuchadnezzar just scratched together a couple of dollars for tickets, and he brought his shmatas with him in the old fashtunkene luggage, and that was it. Anyhow, they both get off the plane, and the first one that gets off, of course, is from the first class, and he sees his son from afar, dressed mamish to the hilt, and he shows his mechutin, whom he dragged to the airport to show off. So he shows his mechutin, "These are my children." And the mechutin's duly impressed. Anyhow, after the, but where's Yankala? So he waits and waits, and finally, schlepping out, looking like a ragtag, you know, bunch, with patches on their clothes, and tzaris in the chamadanis, their suitcases, they're mamish. So he says to his mechutin, he has no choice. He says, "Those are also my children," and he's embarrassed, mamish. He's red with embarrassment. Anyhow, bekitzer the chasna v'chulu v'chulu, and finally comes almost time to go home. He sends his father, the rich one, a bill that would be, the other one doesn't have a bill to send him. He sends him a bill, and nothing happens. Finally, he's getting very frustrated because he's leaving tomorrow. So he comes to his father and he says, "Ta, what about your promise?" He says, "I always keep my promises. What promise are you talking about? You promised that whatever you do in my honor, I will reimburse you." So he says, "I never said such a thing, that I will reimburse you." He said, "Here's the letter." He says, "Let me read the letter." So he reads the letter, "Whatever you will do," and then he yells out, "In my honor, I will reimburse you. Is it my honor that you have a brother, that you know that he doesn't have any money, and you didn't bother to take care of him, realizing that when he gets out of that plane, and when he comes to the chasana, he will be a bizayon to me, and he'll make me feel like I'm not taking care of my children? That you didn't think about. So you didn't do anything in my honor. All you wanted is to aggrandize yourself and look good at my expense. That is not in my honor, and I'm not giving you a penny." That was the maisa. So says Rav Grossman, so Zayn Gesund, says, "Koil hanikra b'shmi, I created man in my honor. I created the Bria to give me honor." And then it says, "Baruch Hu Elokeinu shebira anu," he created us lichvodo. He says, if you care only about yourself, and you have a yid over there, that he doesn't know about Yiddishkeit, and he doesn't know about Yirah Shemayim, and he walks around like a bum, and he's dressed in the big day secular world, so to speak, and he doesn't have any shaykhus to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you don't care about him, then what you do is for yourself. You're not doing it lichvaydi. Because if you would do it lichvaydi, you would care about the unfortunate brother that you have that doesn't know about Yiddishkeit and needs to hear about it from you. So this whole inyan to be Makarid Yidin, he says, that's the litmus test. If you're doing it for Hashem, or you're doing it for your schar, and because you're focused exclusively on yourself. Needless to say, Kiruv is Nishkin Pasha to Arbit, and there's much to say about it. But it's really a very beautiful mashal and very much to the point. So that's what we say, Shebira Anu, Hashem created us lichvaydai. So this is the makar for that idea in Uvolit Zion, and the song that we sing Simchas Torah, Baruch Aleikenu Shebira Anu, he created us lichvodo, because it says, Kol Hanikra B'Shmi V'lichvodi B'Rosiv. So it says here in the Pasuk, Hanikra Bishmi, who is the one who is allowed to be called B'Shem Hashem? Says the Gemara, Elu HaTzadikim. Asidim Tzadikim Shenikroyim Al Shmoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Marashah in Baba Basra Daf Ayin Hei Amid Beis, a very, very essential Marashah. The Marashah teaches up here a fascinating chazal, which everybody knows, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Shemayim to receive the Torah, the Malachim were very, very upset. And the Malachim were wondering, how could the Ribbono Shel Olam give this perfect and pure Torah to the fallible and lowly Basar Vadam? How could it be that he's taking it away from Shmei Meroimim and bringing it down to earth? And they were upset, and they didn't want. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod and answer them. So the Marashah connects that to this Chazal in Baba Basra. That Gemara, of course, is in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Peites, which the Marashah quotes. So he asks like this, Heichon Nizkar Bikra, where does it say in the Pasuk that they're talking about Tzadikim? It says, Kol HaNikra Vishmi. It doesn't say one word about Tzadikim in this Pasuk. So how do Chazal know that it's talking about Tzadikim? V'heichon nisgar kan asidin, and it doesn't say anything about the future. In fact, on the contrary, it sounds like it's talking about the original creation. So the Marsha is wondering, you have a pasuk, but where did they see in this pasuk the point that they are making from the pasuk? Namely, that atzidim, in the future, tzadikim, the righteous, will be called with the name of Hashem. The whom of who are. You see, kol anikra bishmi, you see that there's something nikra bishma, but you don't know if it's tzadikim, and you don't know that it's lasid lava. So this is what the Marsha is asking. The whom of who are. Ki ha'adam ein royu limidas hakovod, shu midosu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenema ukvodi la'acher lo etein. There's a midah called kavod, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah, and it says beferish in the pasuk that I will not give my kavod to anyone. And here it says, lichvodi berasid. So he wants to know, what is this? So he says, va'amru kol ma shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo bero elo lichvodo. Avol yagia lo odom kavod mitzat toirosoi, shehu kvodo yisbarach baruch hu. He says the link that links the person to a kavod which really belongs to Hashem is the kavod that emanates from Torah. Because that is the kvod shamayim. Kmo sh'amru ba'avos ve'ein kavod al ha'Torah sh'nem ba'kavod chachomim min cholo. Ve'ein kavod lo odom rak mitzad toirosoi. Va'Torah ba'atzma I efsho lehanchil. Ki loy nitno yerushaloch. Avol kavod ha'Torah yinchalu ha'bonim me'avihem ha'chachomim. It says an interesting thing. It says, Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu. How does Nachla come into the picture if we're talking about Torah? So he says, Torah can't be a Nachla, but Kavod HaTorah can be a Nachla. That's an aside remark. V'amrinam b'perek ha'chadinim aminus. Adam arishon b'loshon arami siper. Shenema v'li ma yokru reyecha. V'haynu, damu razal maidich siv zeh sefer told us Adam. Malamitcher Hareyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dor Dor V'Dorshav Dor Dor V'Chachomav etc. Kiven Sheigia L'Reb Akiva Samach B'Tarosai V'Nis Atzev B'Misoso Shenemar V'Li Mayokru Reyecha. So he says there's a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin and the Gemara in Daf Lamed Chesamet Beis in Perek Echad Dinim Amidus. I quote the Gemara. He says pretty much the whole Gemara anyhow, but I quote the Gemara in the footnote here on the bottom. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Arishon all the generations that would emanate from him. And when he came to the Dor Dor V'Chachomav of the time of Rabbi Akiva, Adam Arishon was excited about his Torah, and he was very rejoicing in his Torah, but he was depressed and upset about the terrible Misa Mishuna that Rabbi Akiva had to terminate his life in the hands of the Romans. And Omar, so he said, V'li Mayokru Reyecha. My yokru, what does yokru mean? What is the word yokar?
Dear.
Right, so this is fascinating. In Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew, yokar means precious, dear, expensive. Yokar. In Aramaic, yud kuf resh, yokar. It's not two kamatzes. Again, we have a little dikduk mixed in here. It's not yokar, it's yokar. And it's a noun, not an adjective. And yikar is the Aramaic word for kavod, honor. So, v'li mayokru reyecha. So the question is, just because he saw Rabbi Akiva, v'tayrasoi, v'misoso, what is the connection to this pasuk that he recited, v'li mayokru reyecha, your dear ones, how yokar they are. The kosha, ma inyon siper beloshen arami b'mokom hazeh. But if you look at the beginning of that chazal in Sanhedrin, that the Marsha quotes, Odom arishon beloshen arami siper shenemar v'li mayokru reyecha. So the Marsha wants to understand, what is chazal talking about? The answer, of course, is that since in Loshen Kodesh, yokar means something else, which does not fit the Medrash, they interpreted that when Adam HaRishon used this word, he was really using an Aramaic word, meaning V'li Mayokru Reyecha, how glorious, how much kavod there is for your Reyim. So that's what he's trying to say. not dear, not precious, but kavod. What does it have to do with kavod? V'hainu d'amru razal v'chulu v'kosha ma'inyun sipur loshon arami b'mokum zeh u'ma'inyun raya ma'after ratzaloy ma'ach the sipur v'loshon arami. V'anira k'lefi ma'asha amru she'esramu ma'lochim b'yitziras odom gam b'nesina tzatoy roloy k'moshe kosu b'perik reb akivu b'perik achadina mominus. They were upset when man was created. Remember why? Because he's full of sheker. And they were upset when the Torah was given to him. Right? They were upset twice, when he was created and when the Torah was given to him. Mipnei she'odam ein aroy l'kavod. V'zeh she'omru ma'enosh kisis karenu v'kavod v'hodor ta'atreyu. Why in the world did you care about Adam and you surround him with such kavod? Right? Ufi ma'ashoyer l'Rabbi Akiva kavod Torah k'moshe ka'omru b'soif soita shemi shemes Rabbi Akiva batul kavod ha'Torah v'zeh oma k'sheigia l'Rabbi Akiva samach b'toirasai. Shehigia meharoi lekavoi, then this atzid b'misposo shin is battle covered atayra. The Masha here says a remarkable, remarkable thing. He takes the medrash and turns it on its head. You know why? Because whenever we read this medrash and we say that he was upset about his misa, what do we assume? What I just said a moment ago, that there was a misa mishuna, that they raked him with steel blades. So that's of course a horrible fact that he was killed altogether, but a horrible, such a horrible misa. So he was nisatzeh b'misaso. Says the Masha, no. The Masha says nisatzeh b'misaso means because when he was gone, kavod ha'Torah is gone. And that's what he says, that mayakru does not mean precious, which could go on Rabbi Akiva surely, but yakar means kavod. So my yokru yecho, that only your reyim have your kavod. That's what the Marsha says. And when Rabbi Akiva was gone, that level of kavod that is doimet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's his kavod because it comes through Torah, and that's the only tzad hashoveh that any human being can have any shaykhus to quote Shamayim. So that was gone too. Asid lavo, there's going to be a reconnection to that level of kavod, asidim tzadikim. And that's what he says. So he says, when he said yakar with the lashon yakar from the lashon of targum v'arami b'makom kavod b'lashon hakodesh b'shvil hamalochim shelo yavinu bo shekvar hisramu al yitziras adam nesinas haTorah lo mipnei hakavod ki malochim einam mevinim b'lashon arami. Says Adam Arishon used the lashon, he says, which the malochim wouldn't understand, so that they shouldn't object. Because they already objected that Hashem gave his kavod to Bnei Adam. Namely, by creating him, doimet to Hashem, and by giving the Torah, which is the kavod of Shammai. So, v'zishom ha'kosav, Adam b'yikar v'lo yavin. Adam she'omar b'yikar v'loshin arami v'lo omar kavod v'loshin ha'kodesh, hu mipnei she'lo yavin ha'maloch she'israim v'ar bazeh. It's an amazing taich in the pasuk that we say in the perek, that we say in the Beis Ha'avol, Bar Minan. Last paragraph, call it the Krab Shmi, Bechol Maisov, the Hainu had Sadikim, Lichvodi Berosiv, the Hainu Boilum Aze, Sheipo Loshon Bria Yeshme Ayin, the Lonivro Lichvod Atzmo, Rak Lichvodo Yisborach, Bechol Maisov. The Tzadik is created in order to serve Hashem and fulfills himself without any personal negia. Everything that he does is l'shem shamayim. That's what he says. Af asisiv, af shoylem aboshu asiyo yesh miyesh. He's going to have that title of asidim likari b'shmoy, that the shmoy of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu is melech hakavod. So, I wanted to add something very interesting in the Gemara, Derech Agav. It's not so Derech Agav, it's very important for us to know it anyhow, but it's not Derech Agav either. The Gemara and Daf Mem Tes in Maseches Soita tells us that at the Ptira of a number of the Tanoim, certain great qualities and milas fell away. Apparently like never to return until Asid Lavo. That's what's Mashma. So that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says as follows. Very interesting. It says here in the Mishnah
on Daf Mem Tetzamid Aleph and Saita on the bottom. It says here, Mishameis, Mishameis Reb Meir Batlu Moshe Mishalim, Mishameis Ben Azai Batlu Hashakdonim. He never got married because he wanted, you know, Rechaim B'Tzavor B'Yavs B'Toyri. So that kind of level of Asmada never repeated itself. Batlu Hashakdonim. Mishameis Ben Zoma Batlu Hadarshonim. Mishameis Rebbe Akiva Batel Kovod HaTorah. Okay? Listen further. Then it continues, Mishameis Reb Chanina Ben Doisa Batlu Anshe Maise V'chulu V'chulu. And there are a number of others. Mishameis Reb Yochanan Ben Zakai Batel Ziv HaChokma. And then it says, Mishameis Reb Gamliel HaZokain Batel Kovod HaTorah. So what's the pshat Mishameis Rabbi Akiva bottle covered at Torah? Mishameis Rabbi Gamliel Azokin bottle covered at Torah. So if we look at Rashi, Rashi points out that we're talking about two separate inyonim. Bottle covered at Torah by Rabbi Akiva is not the same bottle covered at Torah of Rabbi Gamliel Azokin, and that's the answer to our stira. What is it by Rabbi Akiva, and what is it by Rabbi Gamliel HaZokein, that when they passed away, it came to an end? What Kavod HaTorah are we talking about? So Rashi says, "Batel Kavod HaTorah by Rabbi Akiva, Shehaya noisein libay lidrosh kol koitz v'koitz shel kol ois, v'kol shkein teivos yeseiros v'oisios yeseiros, g'goin bas ubas ani dairish, v'zehu Kavod Torah gadol." So Rabbi Akiva, who was Dairish, every Kutzei Shel Yud, every Tag, he was giving a certain Chashivus to Torah that no other document in the universe has. That we are darshaning every little Knech, every little Pishavka, which means that everything is divine and nothing is to waste, and the same thing has Eitzris in it, even though it's so tiny. So that lends tremendous respect for the Torah itself. And when that was gone, Batel Kavod HaTorah. What about Rabbi Gamliel HaZokein? Rashi says, this is a Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, that until he died, Hoya Brius Va'olam, the human nature was strong, was healthy. And therefore, they were learning Torah standing up. In other words, when they would learn, they would not have chairs, they would not have benches. They would learn standing up the whole day. V'loi ha'yu lo'imdim Torah ela me'umot. Mishameis hu, when he died, yorat choyli lo'olam, v'hutzruchu lilmo Torah me'yushav. It's a very remarkable thing. There are two ways to respect Torah. And both are correct, both are essential, but they're different. One way is in the learning itself. The other way is in your posture towards learning, as it were. Remember that when you're mechabit someone, you stand up. Why? Because in that standing up, there's an acknowledgement of his stature and his importance. Being seated is being in repose. And when you're in repose, it's a simon that you're not at attention. The only way you can be at attention is to stand up, erect. That's part of our physical being. Just the virtue of the fact that we are seated is less respect than standing. When they were learning standing, there was in their very posture, in the activity of learning, in terms of who they were and how they projected themselves, a cover to the Torah. Masha Ein Kain in Rabbi Akiva's model, the issue wasn't their being, their giving Torah cover. It was in the way that they learned that they identified the Chashivas of Torah. So when Rabbi Akiva was Nifter, their fact that they did not dwell upon every detail in the same level and in the same way or with the same capacity diminished our appreciation of what Torah has to offer, of where it comes from, of what it's all about. In the Rabban Gamliel mode,
The reason that there was bottle covered at Torah was because when they were seated, even though they needed to be seated, because they just didn't have the strength to carry on. And obviously, if you don't have the strength, you don't learn well. So really, their sitting was for the sake of Torah. And in terms of the learning, it was better for them then. So my Rash that they're sitting, the answer is because the moment you sit down, you have already offended the Torah, as it were. Because the posture of being erect is the human way of signaling the importance of the person in front of you or the Torah that you are learning. So the price that we pay, just like Torah Shebaal Peh, had to be turned into Torah Shebaal Sad. There's a price that's paid all the time. But the fact is that we had no choice. So in the time of Rabban Gamliel, they were able, that was the last time that they were able to give that kind of cover to Torah and still maintain their level of learning, because they could stand and learn with great intensity. After that, it wasn't Shaykh. Well, you have a choice. Baal Peh and forget it, or write it down, you write it down. If you have a choice, stand and not learn well, but you give a lot of respect, or sit and learn well, then obviously you sit. But already there was a drop in the comprehension of the person who's learning of how choshuv that which he is learning is. In the case of Rabbi Akiva, that drop was not in the posturing. It was in the essence of what you're dealing with. My appreciation of something that I feel that I'm able to darshan the Kutzo Shel Yud is infinitely greater than my appreciation of something where I know there are many pshatim, but whatever, but I don't have access to it anymore. So b'meila, it diminishes in its grandeur in my own eyes, inevitably, because I don't see what Rabbi Akiva saw. You understand? So imagine a person that's a great mekubal, I mean a real mekubal. As I say, most people who consider themselves mekubalim are mekablim. That's also tiktok. But a real mekubal, somebody who really has a yediyah in the esoteric, his Torah is a different Torah. It's a different Torah. All of a sudden, the same thing that you and I see, he sees something else as well. And that's already, that changes the respect that he has, inevitably. So that's Mishameis Rabbi Akiva. I just wanted to tell you, because the Maharsha quotes it, that there are two Mishameis Botel Kovet HaTorah, Rabbi Gamliel HaZokin, that they had to sit, and Rabbi Akiva, that they lost that sense of what you dash. Now, going back to the word Yukar, Lahudim HaSa'ira, the Simcha, the Sasam, the Yukar. What's Yukar? So that's the question. Yukar, with a Shva under the Yud, correct? So Yukar is covered, but what language is that? That's Aramaic. Sasam Simcha is Hebrew. Lahudim HaSa'ira, the Simcha, the Sasam Yukar is not written in Aramaic, right? Nevertheless, the word is yakar, and that's perturbing in a sense. Now, my yakru, that's also mechayre Hebrew, but yakar, my yakru. But in yakar, with a shva under the yud, it means kavod, and it's Aramaic. By the way, what is yakar in the Chazal? Ayra zutayra. Simcha is yom tov. Sason is mila. What's yakar? Tefillin. Why is Yakar Tefillin? So what does that have to do? It's covered. Honor. So the it's like a person wearing a crown. So I just wanted to mention Beis Ephraim in his famous Tshuvas, which are, he was a God Lador. Ra'isi B'Sefer Shailus Tshuvas Tshuva Mi'ava, that's from Rebbe Elazar Fleklis, Chayinu Livrocha Chelik Aleph. So it's very remarkable. We say, so you may fight with me that yakar means there's something else. But what's kol hanoshim yitnu yakar lebaaleihem? Of course it means covered. It means that when you take care of this, what was her name? Vashti. When you take care of Vashti,
then everybody will, and you send out this cruise, so everybody will know that the husband is king. You understand? Somebody once told me that that's the biggest Purim joke of all. But in any case. But anyhow, Kol Anoshim Yitnu Yekar LeBaaleihem is crystal clear that the word means covered. There's nothing to talk about even. So that's the question. So he says, now he writes like this, Ulididi Chazili, right? And then he says, why does the Lashon of Yekar that they bring, they want to prove that Yekar is Aramaic, right? So they so he asks, why doesn't they bring it from the Pasuk that the Es Yekar Teferes Gedulasa? Baharoso, right, when he showed his greatness, he made this Mishnah to show Yekar Teferes Gedulasa. So why did they bring it from the later pasuk? V'chol anoshim yitnu yikar lebaleihem. Bring it right away from the beginning as yikar teferes gedulasa. Yomim rabim shmonim umeyasya. So he says as follows: Lidi chazi likimilas yikar shahayud b'shva hu toar Hashem k'mo shekosav Rabban Ezra gabrei eder hayikar v'hu targum hu pistron milas kavod b'loshen hakodesh. When yikar is with a shva, it's a Targum Lashon, and it's the equivalent of the Hebrew kavod. Right? And it's not in the notes. I'm reading from my, from my own vineyard here. But Lef'amim, he writes like this, V'kayotze b'rabin. And then he writes, Umilat yakor shahayud kemutza, with a ya, with a kamatz, yakor. Right? Who gam kein Torah Hashem, v'hu moira al chashivus, k'mo mayokor chazdecho v'kayotzi bo rabim. U'mimenu nimtzmach gam kein kishu dover shevikoshi lahasigo, v'lif'omin nimna legamri, k'mo v'dvar Hashem yokor, or yokor bein Hashem amovsel chazidov. He learns that the word yokor in Hebrew means something that is rare and precious, right? And memela, something that is incomprehensible as well. In other words, synonyms have a way of transferring from one meaning, one shade of meaning to another shade of meaning, until finally it becomes a word that has a different meaning entirely, eventually from its original meaning, but it's the same word. So he says, Yakar in Hebrew starts out meaning precious. It ends up meaning rare, and it ends up beyond that meaning so rare that we can't fathom it. It's not in our Dalet Amos. So when it says Mayokru Reyecho or Mayokru Chazdecho, it's like not just precious, it means rare. It's hard to define. It's hard to figure out. So he says, when it's with a Kamatz, it means that. When it's with a Shva, it's Aramaic, and it means honor and glory and covet. Okay. So he writes, Avonim Yikaros, Or Yikaros, and so on. V'lachein, Hach the kol anoshim yitnu yikar hu toar Hashem v'targum shel milas kavod. Right? So maisi shas mine. Masha'enkein hach the v'yikar teferes gedulaso she'achar she'zochar osher kvod malchuso omar v'yikar teferes gedulaso she'tevos v'yikar pisrono kavod v'toar Hashem. Shem Kain, you can't say that. Shem Kain Hoyolomar, like it says, Viyakar Vitiferes Gedulasa. The Gam Shekvar Zocha Kavod Vitchila. It says already Kvod Malchuso. So why does he say Yakar all over again? So he says it can't be the Aramaic. It must mean the Hebrew Yakar. So what is it? He says Chashivus Viyakrus Tiferes HaGedula. So he says a Taich, it's very Nogea. We're going to learn the Megillah very soon. So the question is, when we read the words for Es Yikar Teferes Gedulaso, how will we translate that Yikar? So he says that it's the Hebrew, that's what the Beis Ephraim says, the Hebrew Yikar, which means precious, expensive. The Teferes Gedulaso, which is so expensive, so rare, so unusual. Masha Enkein, if it would be Aramaic, it would be the glory or the honor of Teferes Gedulaso. So he says there's no reason to repeat the word honor again if it just said kavod a second before. So Memele says it must mean the Hebrew.
That's why when Chazal want to show that in the Hebrew Nusach there are Aramaic words, they bring which word? V'chol ha'noshim yitnu yikar l'ba'aleihem, which is clearly the Aramaic of Chavod, Masha'en ken yikar teferes gedoloso, which at the very least you can debate. Is it the Hebrew yakar or is it the Aramaic Chavod? Yeah, that they could bring, but it's afterwards.
Yeah, you don't have to bring as many all the psukim that you want.
In both cases, by Achashverosh and Bilam, he wanted this, Roshan turned it over.
Yeah, that's correct. But you see, yokar kavod and yokar in Hebrew, which means precious, they're not that far from each other. So there could be an apoch of either one. The question is, what does the word mean?
I'm saying here, by Ahasuerus, it's obviously connected to, maybe, not obvious, but could be connected to that.
Yeah, no, but it still doesn't prove anything because his kavod was hafuch, and his rarity was hafuch. So it doesn't. In other words, your point is true either way. So it doesn't enlighten us as far as what the word yokar means in that pasuk. So Rebbe Sefraim Bekitzer says that that's what yokar means in the Hebrew, and that's why they didn't quote that pasuk. They waited for the first pasuk in Megillas Esther, where it's clear and distinct that the yokar that they're talking about is yikar with a shema, and means dafka, the Aramaic equivalent of the Hebrew word kavod. Right.
Yikar follows the same Aramaic as well.
Yeah, yikar is just vav, the vav hachibur. Right. Or v'simcha v'sason v'yikar. Now the question is, that's what I asked you. So when you have this, you have a whole bunch of Hebrew words. Then you'd say, of course, it's Hebrew, but you see that it's not like that, because you can have the meat Yachbot Hamelach Lasis Yukar Yosim Yirani, and every one of those words is Hebrew except for one, and then you have V'chol Anoshim Yitnu Yukar L'Baleihem. So obviously, it means that that Aramaic word entered into the Hebrew vocabulary and remained there, and it just sat there, and it became a Hebrew word, even though it's really Aramaic. So that's what he's saying about Yitnu Yukar L'Baleihem. So I'm asking, then, if that's the case, what about Lahudim Hoysa'ara V'Simcha V'Tzasam V'Yukar? So if you learn that it's precious and expensive and rare, you could still say it's tefillin. It's hard to know. But I would suggest that it's the Aramaic as well. Anyhow, he quotes later Adoni Aviskeni Damar Shah, and he says, he mamish brings it, you know, the entire shtickle. And he quotes the whole shtickle that we just learned a few minutes ago. Okay, that's what I wanted to tell you. I'm not derech agav, but benageya this inyan of kovod chachamim yinchol. What the Masha is saying in the end is very, very important. If we digest it and kind of like bring it down to our level. A person who learns Torah has a lot of milas. What I want to show you is the way the Maharsha understood it. What happens to a person who learns Torah is he kind of becomes tzomud to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a very unique way. And that is something that is besides all the other milas of Torah. That's asidim tzadikim likari b'shmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an extraordinary statement. But if you can connect to that which is the ultimate glory of Hashem, Hashem created a world. And the world was created through Torah, with Torah. And the world exists on account of Torah. So the v'lichvodi berasiv, I created a world for my kavod, that according to the Maharsha is ein kavod ala Torah. The whole of a person's connection to Torah is a way of connecting to the tachlis habriya, which ultimately is connecting to Hashem. It's a very, very remarkable and powerful perspective that is really, I mean, when you think about it, the person asks, you know, why should I learn Torah? They could give a lot of different answers. The Maharsha is giving you a perspective that we generally do not have. in the Zohar, which I very rarely quote Zohar in these sheets, but I just wanted to show you an extension of this idea. Very interesting Zohar, because it tells a story. Pasach Rabbalozov v'omar kovet chachomim in cholu ksilim meirim kolom. Kovet chachomim in cholu zakoyin inun demis aski b'araisa. Those who study Torah are meritorious. Adloi pasach mila, before he was able to continue what he was about to say, Korev ha'u barnash gabayu, somebody came over, apparently, to talk to him. Amar Rebeloza, leslon lemifsak mili doiraisa. We should not pause to entertain his discussion, but we should continue learning as we did before he came. Why? We shouldn't be mafsik. The kol man deshtadl ba'iraisa zochi lemeiras yerusa da achsana da le'ela. The Yikra de Malko Iloa Kadisha. He's Zaycha to inherit the Yerusha of the heavenly inheritance. The Zochi Lemeiras Yerusha de Achsana Bahai Alma. And he also is meriting an earthly inheritance. Umay Iu Ahu de Ikri Kvod Hashem de Lo Posak Minayu La Alma. Ado de Ksiv Kovod Chachomim Yin Cholu Ahu de Ikri Kvod Hashem. So it's very, very fascinating. I think what the Parsha Pshat of this Zohar, Parsha Pshat, I mean, the Pshat that we can relate to, right? So what he's saying is that in this world, there is a kavod that is called Kvod Hashem, and in the world to come, there's a kavod that's called Kvod Hashem. And a person who binds himself to the Torah inherits in this world and in the next world. That madrega called Kavod Hashem. A little bit later, it says Tochazi. And it, whenever it says Tochazi, you know, Bo Re'eh, come and see. Like Toshma, come and hear. This is come and see. It means he wants to develop a theme. He wants to give you an explanation. Tochazi kad barnash ozo ba'orech mishor kame kud shabrichu. When he goes in the proper path before Hashem, v'shtadl ba'rais, and he learns Torah, right? He inherits for himself Kvod Hashem. The Kama Aputrupsin Sanegorin Ishtakula Ela Ale de Barnash, the Kulu Ofen Ale Zuchu Kame Malka Kadisha. And one of the consequences of this is that all of the Malachim who are Malamid Toiva, who are Malamid Zchus, are interested in projecting his greatness before Hashem. They're interested in testifying about him. The Ibar Nash lo yishtadl boi raisa v'loi ozal b'urcha demare hu ovid kategora alei v'hu kategora shot ba'avira v'loi solik la'elo duma yosif oda mechoivoi. It says a remarkable thing. When a person doesn't do the right thing, he creates all of these negatives, but the negatives don't immediately ascend to heaven. You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's marich av, and he says, maybe the person will do tshuva, and we don't want to condemn him. We don't want to bring him to trial yet. Maybe there won't be any need to do so, because the zedonos will turn into zechuyos. So it hovers in the world. Kivan the chomi de barnash loytov, but only for a certain amount of time. Doesn't say how long. They hover, you know, in between. But after a point, they see the person didn't do tshuva, he didn't repent. Not interested in learning Torah. So he then ascends on high and he becomes the prosecutor. He says the word meirim is literal. He lifts up the chayvos all the way to Shamayim. But the Zohar says at least we, you know, we have a chance. You know, he gives us some time to repent. But you see here a very remarkable thing also. The Zohar is saying essentially what we saw in the Marsha. Namely, what is that? What is that? That when a person is in the Limud HaTorah, it becomes connected to Kvod Shamayim in a very special and unique way. And that's what the Zohar says.
My ihu hahu de'ikri kvayt Hashem.
That is the special Yerusha that he gets ba'olam hazeh and ba'olam haba, which reflects back on what we said earlier, that Yerusha, the Marsha says, cannot refer to the Torah itself. Why not? Because Torah is not a Yerusha loch. So what does it refer to? It refers to Kavod HaTorah. That's exactly what the Zayar is saying. That he's Yoyresh Kvod Hashem. But the Marsha is explaining, what does it mean to be Yoyresh Kvod Hashem? You become Mechuber Ke'ilu to the Tachlis Habriya and Memela to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Kaila Nikra Bishmi. It's Shmoysav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you can connect. It's the ultimate level that any Basav Adam can possibly reach. That's what I wanted to show you. In the Shari Tshuva here of Rabbeinu Yoina, the Shari Tshuva says the following. Zesh Amru Zichronam Levracha That person is not mevaza the Torah, mind you. He's mevaza the person. He's mevaza the person, but the person is the Talmud Chacham. So Chazal say, when you're mevaza the Talmud Chacham, you are actually being mevaza the Torah. So the Shari Tshuva wants to be mazvir. Rabbeinu Yonah wants to be mazvir that a little bit better. So he writes like this. Amar Shlomo Alav Hashalom, Kavod Chacham Yicholu Ksilim Merim Kolon, Inyan Kolon Ish Kolon, V'chein Ba'ani Tefila Ish Tefila. Right, Shiftecha B'Soich Mirma B'Soich Anshe Mirma Pirush. In other words, Kolon is the thing. So what the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that Ksilim Merim, not Kolon, but Ish Kolon, the person whose definition is Kolon, meaning he's an abject, miserable type that is making trouble. So Pirush Ha'ish HaNikle V'HaNovel Meirim Ksilim U'Mechabed U'Meshabeach Olsam Ki Yesh B'Kvod Chachomim V'Yishorim To'Elis Gedolos U'Kvod HaKsilim V'Rishoyim Mecholim Rabim V'Atzumim. He says that the way you read the second half of this pasuk according to the Rabbeinu Yonah is very precise. We always have the question in vague psukim, which is the beginning and which is the end? What's the subject and what's the object? What's the verb? You know, what's going on? Ksilim meirim kolon. How does he read it? First of all, he sticks in the word anshe kolon. And, or ish kolon, right? And then he puts the ish kolon before the verb and ksilim at the end of the verb. Meaning, ish kolon meirim ksilim. The ish kolon, the novel, the person who is the opposite of the tzaddik, the opposite of the chacham, he elevates and puts on the pedestal the ksil. In other words, the tzaddik is mechabed chachamim, and the rasha is mechabed rishon. He says, in the same way that there's tremendous benefit to be mechabed talmid chachamim, in the same way, it's a tremendous negative that comes out of being mechabed rishoyim. You know, it's so obvious and so basic, but half the world is like that. Ki behisadra chachamim ubesita melyonim devrayim nishmoyim. He said, whenever you give kavod to somebody, what he is, I always say this, you have a ball player. No matter what, there are monkeys and gorillas that can do better throwing a ball into a hoop. They're faster, they jump higher, and they can even hang on to the hoop much better. So the question is, what is so special? The Terence says, okay, I'm asking. I can't do it, you can't do it, he can do it. But the question is, Afal Pikein is like the emperor's clothes. Mehecha Taisa, that is of any value. Okay, so he can do it. There's a lot of things people can do. You know, some people, can be ventriloquists. They can talk without opening up their mouths. It's an interesting thing. I don't know if necessarily I would think that this person deserves a lot of my attention. It's interesting. It's a curiosity. If he does it well, it's a skill. The Guinness Book of Records is full of all kinds of peculiar people who do very crazy things, but they're the only ones that ever did it, because that's how they got to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's a world record. You know, by us in the yeshiva, they had a world record how many people could turn a dreidel at the same time. I mean, I find that to be fascinating that anybody should be interested in something like that. But, you know, you never know. I mean, it's like, it's probably better than eating how many hot cooks you can eat in an hour, and nobody gets a stomachache from playing dreidel. So lemaisa, it's very possible that you can do something extraordinary and not necessarily be rewarded or be regarded with any special and unusual regard. So what's the pshat?
But when I give somebody $4 million a year for doing that, all of a sudden, now, imagine then, I parade him in front of every camera and into every news site, and I put him on the front and the back page of every newspaper. All of a sudden, this person becomes a member of my household, a part of my life, and he's extraordinarily, unusually important. Because you talk about people who are important, and you parade people who are important. So all of a sudden, the quality itself is almost irrelevant. That's the point. And if you have a golf player, it could be the biggest maneuver, but if he'd still be winning, people would have forgotten. But the minute he starts getting shvach, all of a sudden... So what is it? You take a stick, and instead of hitting the ball into the air, and that somebody should catch it, you try to get it into a little hole in the ground. Again, be'etzim, it's garnished. So it's a skill. It's a skill that you have to work at for who knows how long. But is it more chashuv that a person learns how to play the piano in an extraordinary way and can produce magnificent pieces of music? It's not. Then Manson is garnished with garnished. I mean, who are we trying to kid? But when there's a whole industry and the hundreds of magazines and all the rich people do it in the country clubs, all of a sudden somebody that can do it better and well and is chashuv. But it would be nothing if he wasn't paraded as chashuv, and it would be nothing if he wasn't paid as chashuv. And the same thing with every manuvel in mukashchin. You know, when they're not drunk and they're not in jail, they're making fortunes of money and they're being paraded in front of the cameras. That's what makes them chashuv. You ever see a great technologist, somebody who invented the vacuum tube or the transistor or you know, the USB plug that you have? You ever hear about him? You don't even know his name. You know the name of the person who invented the USB plug? You don't know it and I don't know it. So why not? It's infinitely more important than some guy who's putting a ball into a hole. What is he doing for me? He's entertaining me. The whole thing is based on ultimate shtus. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, it would be perceived as shtus if you make the shtus famous. It's no longer shtus. And fame comes with money and parades and newspapers and so on and so forth. That's what it is. You can be the biggest manuvel, the biggest mashchas, you could be the biggest nayef, you could be the biggest rasha. But as long as you are famous... So how is a person inspired? So the children don't run after the fellow from the USB port. They run after these people. They run after the people who sing songs that are full of nevola, and they themselves are nevolim, that their word is not a word, and their marriages are not marriages. And they chase after them, and mamash, buy tickets, you pay fortunes, the scalpers make themselves a life. And all of this is for what? Because he's famous. And you want to touch fame, because in that world, fame is olam haba. The pelet dekazach is beyond your day to day. It's beyond your routine. They're larger than life. It's a remarkable thing. It's like to hey Torah shleimu shalonu kesicha b'teila shalahem. Imagine what we consider chashuv, what they consider chashuv. But again, we get infected by it, and the meila. The Shari Tshuva says it plain, black and white. Ki behisader chachomim ubesitam elyonim devreim nishmayim. And what happens if it's ksilim? Then devreim nishmayim. Then he adds, v'hashenis. Beroz b'nei odom es kvodom yilmedu lekach linchol kovod v'tir b'hadas. Everybody chases after the person who's famous and who's honorable and who's special and who's unique. If you give that person kavod, everybody around you will learn that that's important. It's exactly what I said.
And whatever you make important, I'll tell you something, Rabbi, I have to tell you something very, very, it's maybe a little bit too strong, but I have to tell you. I don't believe that you can have Kavod HaTorah if you know that a Rebbe makes bupkis to begin with, and he doesn't get paid either on time, and that's because the yeshiva doesn't have any money. It's not shayach that it should not damage, even if we know lo lechachomim lechem, and even if we know whatever we know, and even if we think it's a badge of honor, quote unquote, is baloney, Rabbi say. It's not a badge of honor. It's a sign that it really doesn't matter as much as we make believe it matters. And it has to have an impact. When you see a person that's starving, you don't say, "Ay, what a tzaddik l'shem shemayim, Torah is the best eschaira." You say, a eschaira that cannot provide a panosa for a person who gives his life to it, what kind of eschaira is that altogether? And don't think it doesn't have a roshem. It has a tremendous, tremendous roshem. You give kavod, you pay for what you believe in. And when you don't, you don't say, no, ma'ani b'chinam, ma'fata b'chinam. Das ken yichzogim. That's the real pshat, by the way, what I told you once in the name of Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro once came to a gvir, and he wanted for his yeshiva. The gvir found out that Rachmana Litzlan, they have fancy building and a nice dormitory, and they even have laundry service in the dormitory. What kind of business is that? That's for me, not for a bank fetcher. That's not right. That's like turning the balance of the world upside down. It's like, you know, how does the Gemara say? The person who makes alfin einin and einin alfin is nimtza machrivas olam. This person says, you want to treat them the way you treat Ashirim? They have to be aniyim. That's the whole point of Torah, isn't it? That they have to remain aniyim. So he didn't want to give any money. It's not enough to feel that way. That's not a nice feeling to feel. But he has a Gemara to prove it. He has a Chazal. What is the Chazal? Kachi daka shel Torah pas ba melach toicha mayim ba mesura tishta al oretz tishon v'chay yitzar tichya. He says, you're ruining everything. The Chazal say, and the Rambam says, this is how you're supposed to live. And you're doing the exact opposite. So he answered him, that's how you read that Gemara? That's how you read that Chazal? So he says to him, how do you read the Chazal? So Reb Meir Shapiro is purported to have answered, I read it as follows. Kachi darka shel Torah? Pas ba melech toichal? Mayim ba mesura tishta? Al oretz tishan? Like hayitoche? How can you even imagine such a thing? So, l'maisa, is that really the way you're supposed to read that Chazal? So what's the pshat? I mean, Reb Meir Shapiro, besides being a godel, but stam, what does he want? So I'll tell you what he wants. And this is really the point, and it's the point of the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah said it all many, many, many hundreds of years ago. I am a Talmud Chacham, and I sit and learn. I'm a Ben Torah, and I sit and learn. I'm a person who wants to conquer the Torah, and I sit and learn. I have to have a certain Hashkafa. The Gvir has to have the opposite Hashkafa. And there's nothing wrong if the Gvir fights with the Talmud Chacham to impose that Hashkafa on the Talmud Chacham. Because the Gvir's relationship to Torah is covered on Torah. And covered is money, and money is covered. Covered is respect, real respect. And real respect does not mean that you put a person up front and then you let him starve to death. There's no such thing. Or that you have to make him worry about where tomorrow's bread is going to be. It's unbelievable. All the Rosh Yeshivas today, all they have to think about is money. There's nothing in the coffers. The tzedaka pushka, so to speak, is empty. And you have to pay a budget, and you have to pay your rebbeim, and the rebbeim have large mishpachas, and they don't have any money. And they go around begging like an ani bar pesach, like the biggest schlumper, and people slam the doors on them. I saw recently, and of course I don't want to mention the moisir or the moistus or the people, this is not my agenda, I'm not a political person at all. Just the principle of the thing. So there's a parlor meeting for something that's about to go under. Not a yeshiva, but a moisid, an Indian in Kiruv. And it's about to go under. So they're having a parlor meeting, and there's a chashuva guest speaker, and there's a chashuva master of ceremonies, whatever you call it, words of introduction. And then I see underneath, because I got the invitation, I see the people who are involved in making the parlor meeting. It's a who's who.
And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on over there? What do they need a parlor meeting for? The people there, if they pulled together resources, could be Mekayim the Maisid for the next 100 years. What's Tutzachta? There's something missing. There's something wrong. And Kavod HaTorah, that's what Rav Meir Shapira meant. Kavod HaTorah for you is, I want that laundry service. I want them to live like Virim. I want Torah to be the top of the top. I want Torah to be the projection that everybody talks about. And the Talmud Chacham has to say, and you know what it's like? It's B'dayma too. It's B'dayma too. The Rishoner. The Rishoner wore gold buckled shoes, and there was no sole on the bottom. And whenever he walked, he tore the flesh of his foot, because the stones cut into him, because he didn't have any protection. The shoes had no soles. What's that pshat, a shoe that has silver buckles and no soles? Because the people needed to see Malchus. There was such a misery, there was such a depression, there was so much anti-Semitism, there was so much frustration and hurt, that you needed, that you should feel, but for this thing, I also have an emperor, and that's my emperor, and he wears gold buckles. So maybe look at that hair. You cannot have Kavod HaTorah without having the support of Torah. It's not shaykh. It's a stira minei ubet. And the gvir who thinks that that's where they belong and they'll get their chelik in olam haba. Why should they have olam hazeh? I don't know about my olam haba, so at least let me have olam hazeh. I don't want to mess up the balance. The gvir is supposed to be wealthy and live in a fancy house and not do mitzvahs 1,000%. And the tzaddik is supposed to live in a hovel and suffer and do the mitzvahs 100%. And then he gets olam haba. That's the way it is, isn't it? This is exactly the rat that we are suffering from. And when you don't have Kavod HaTorah, and when the whole world is mechabit every shtus vehevel, you know what happens? In our children's minds, there's a confusion, there's a tishtush. And as much as we try to teach and inculcate the right perspective, reality asks the question, and children are very into the truth. If it's so choshuv, why is it suffering so much? If it's so important, why don't we put the money where the mouth is? And that's a question that nobody has an answer for. Nobody has an answer for that. It's an unbelievable thing. So that's what the Shari Tshuva says, and I just want to be Messiah. He says, in the middle of the second paragraph, Kuf Mem Chesam, which yediyah that he said a moment ago, ki zeh kol ha'adam, that's the ultimate tachlis of everything. I bolded it out for you. Halo dover yodua ki ein ha avoda miskayemes bilti al yedei loimde hatoira asher yehegu bo yoma v'loila ki heim yorudeya v'yodei bina li'itim l'das mayase Yisrael v'im yamidua b'Yisrael v'bilti tishachach mipizara u'b'makom she'ein oiske toira yirbu hamichsholim v'yosher ba'odom ayin. He says there's no such thing as avoda Hashem. You might as well pack up and go home, unless there is great Torah, because they're the ones who teach, they're the ones who follow, they're the ones who lead, and they are the ones who are mekayim the Torah in every possible way. And the moment that you're mezalzel in Torah, what happens is that there's a zilzul, not just in kvod ha-Torah, there's a zilzul in kiyum ha-mitzvahs. And wherever there are no talmidei chachamim, Yiddishkeit has to go down the drain. That's what he says. We should be zeicha to have that lesson.